Okay, well, good morning, everybody. And Devin, perhaps we can turn off the music. Good job. That was very fast. Why don't you say hi to everybody, Devin?
Hello, everyone. Do we want everybody to say hi?
Yeah, let's do a morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
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 So, why don't we start with anybody who wants to talk this morning, because we're just going to open it up and talk about things. But I always wanted to share one thought that I've been having. I always like to look at the implications of things. What does this suggest? And I mentioned it yesterday, but I feel it's so important I wanted to reiterate that the body has a higher priority than being well. And it's such a deep concept when you think about it, that the body actually has a higher priority than being healthy, and that's to grow spiritually. And I think this work implicates that very strongly, because the body has the capacity of doing incredibly fast healing when you process the emotion, but it didn't want to do it until you handled the emotions. So you've worked with the emotions, because a higher priority is not being healthy, it's being connected to who and what you really are. It's connecting to your honesty and connecting to your love and connecting to the soul energy of who you really want to become. It's the agreement you've made. Anyway, that's just my little thought for the day. So if anybody wants to talk about what happened yesterday or have any questions or concerns, just hit 1 on your keypad, and we'll start taking it. And today is your day to wrestle with the material, to talk about issues, to work things out, to things that weren't easy or things that went well. If you want to share amazing experiences that you've had, I'm really interested to hear from those who were successful in doing their processing, who were able to go all the way through to the other side. And if you got stuck anywhere, we can talk about that as well. Because this is your time to work with the material, because I want you to feel like you own this stuff. All right, so let's take a call.
Okay, go ahead, Artis.
Well, yesterday I worked with a really old injury, and I knew where it came from, so the process didn't take me there as far as I thought. But I didn't feel I needed to work on it on my own, so I did that. And I felt I needed to go further back in time than when the injuries. I had an injury at whiplash, and so it's a neck injury. And yesterday, I started physically feeling many different things. It wasn't just my neck injury. I was feeling, I felt like everything that had ever bothered me physically in my lifetime. Last night when I went to bed, I felt really sick.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of confusing, that so many things, but not just the one neck that I was working with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at what I found was my father got really angry because I damaged his car. Mm-hmm. And my reaction to that. And so I thought, oh, I'm going to look back further when this might have also happened.
Right.
And I couldn't come up with one that I remembered, so I did a maybe.
Okay.
And it had been suggested at one time in the soul retrieval that at 3 or 4, I had been abused.
Mm-hmm.
I also knew that I lived on a farm, and at one time early in my life that I don't remember, we had a hired hand who my dad got angry with and fired and said, get off the land immediately. So I decided to tie the two together and imagine what I felt like at 3 or 4 with my dad's anger, and as if that might have been what had happened. And it seemed to fit.
Yeah.
And about 5 years ago, I changed my name because I had changed so much. And I decided to do this process, the forgiveness with my 3-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I called her by my old name, because that's what she was called. Mm-hmm. And I did the process of the forgiveness with her. And then I realized through that process that I needed to really forgive and be forgiven by the person that I, by the name I was called before. And I'm feeling good.
So it really moved it for you.
Yes.
One point that came up early in your discussion with me was that mm-hmm. when you actually experience an injury, very rarely is the issue on your mind the one that was responsible for the injury. That's why I said, you know, the logical reason and the real reason yesterday, you know, I pick mm-hmm. up the laundry or whatever it was. And what happens is these injuries usually have a resonance to an emotional issue that's very significant. It didn't happen to do with the car accident or, you know, picking up the laundry. It's the deeper emotional issue that generated the injury. And that's usually where we want to go, to that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you did a lot of deep searching and found some powerful things that were impacting you.
Yes. In fact, my husband this morning, I was sharing with this morning, said, he was honest. He said, this is a deep, you're going deep. I'm a little afraid, based on like what you said yesterday, of how I'm going to change and what the impact is going to be.
Well, you're going to be more you, which means that you'll have more capacity to love, more capacity to forgive, and more capacity to be your spiritual nature. And that can inspire his growth too.
Yeah. And today I feel lighter and still me.
Yeah, but more so.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Well, thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Asako.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello. Hi.
Yes.
I was relating to Chase things yesterday, and I tried to email you.
Can you speak up a little louder, please?
Can you hear me better?
Much better now.
Yeah.
Okay. So yesterday, the discovery session was very useful, and you know, we discovered, you know, very interesting things. However, in my own case, what I discovered as my own problems was, you know, I just compromised with everything, and I don't quite feel anger or sadness about my conditions. And to the questions that I answered, like, I just give in to my physical pain, and I just try to live through it, and I try to get something positive out of it because everyone has problems. So my problem is just this, and I just live through it. So I don't really feel anger or anything. And that's exactly the attitude that, you know, I deal with almost everything in my life.
Yes.
And probably especially with my marriage. I married young, and I chose to get married to be independent from my controlling parents and to be free. But yesterday in the session, I realized that I just created another limiting situation for myself, and I never became free.
Exactly.
But that was my own choice. I created the same thing, and I tend to make the same choice. So if I don't, maybe I'm angry at myself, but if I don't feel anger or hurt, how can I go through?
These are excellent points you're bringing up, and so there's a few things I want to cover right away. First, anger to yourself is there for sure, but you cannot process the anger to yourself until you have processed the anger that wasn't toward yourself. And the way we understand this is that no child is angry with themselves. that you have to be angry at something else before you can learn to be angry at yourself. And so because you're so uncomfortable expressing anger toward everybody and everything in your world, you have learned the art of tolerating. You tolerate things that are not to your liking. And you've become so adept at tolerating that you don't let yourself feel angry. And when you do feel angry, the only person you feel safe expressing anger to is you. So imagine a pill that's too big to swallow. That's what self-anger is. Self-anger is a pill that's too big to swallow because at least half of the pill is the anger toward everybody else. Now, you can swallow that pill. You can deal with that. You can express that anger toward everybody else. And after you've released the anger toward everybody else, then you can take the anger toward yourself, turn it to remorse, and do a forgiveness process. But you cannot go directly to process anger toward yourself. You have to deal with the anger outside yourself first. But you have mastered the art of turning the anger outside yourself into what you call tolerance, where you put up with, where you, you know, let other people be where they are. And there's kind of a spiritual side to that about, you know, letting people be where they are and not trying to change them and such. And that makes sense up to a point. But the point where it doesn't make sense is where you lose your self-honesty, where you lose your integrity, where you really need to stand up for yourself and be yourself fully and express the intensity of those emotions. That's where you hurt yourself, by not fully acknowledging what you actually feel. And you cannot cannot process the self-anger until you've released the anger outside yourself. And that's what sounds like where you got stuck.
Yes. Yesterday discovery was focused on, you know, one of my physical, main physical conditions. I have other conditions I could look at, and probably other emotions will come up.
Uh-huh.
So I would really have to, work on other conditions as well until I find, my anger against with someone or.
Well, let's just look at something that you've already presented. How angry do you think people feel when they're in a situation where somebody's controlling them?
Well, I don't know if I can say, you know, I'm probably angry with my parents because they tried to control me.
Yeah, and so that's a place to start. You can start with your parents because they were controlling you. And then you are in a marriage where you also don't feel the level of freedom that you want to feel. So you can start in these obvious places or anywhere else you like. But these are places where you might be able to grab hold and say, no, I don't like feeling controlled.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be myself. I don't want to be what you want me to be. I want to be what I want to be. I want to think and do what I want to do. I don't want you telling me what I can and cannot do. I'm an adult. No? And so that's where you can start turning your tolerance into anger. And it's not anger at yourself. Yes, you made these choices. You're right. You did. But this is a really important point I wanted to bring up. And that is, if you jump to step 3 without doing step 1 and 2, it's self-sabotage.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is, I did 2 counseling sessions one day when I was in Ecuador with these 2 women, and both of them were doing the exact same thing with very different stories. But they were jumping to responsibility without recognizing what they were upset about and without expressing the emotional release. So they were just taking all the responsibility without having recognized what their anger was about and expressing that anger. So you know what that is? It's beating yourself up, and it's not clearing the process.
Okay. So, okay. Okay, I'll work on yeah.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
These are very important points. Yes. Thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Shaika.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
I did the discovery questions yesterday, and I wasn't able to finish the call with you. But I feel like emotionally agitated since yesterday. I didn't
emotionally
complete the
what?
Agitated.
Oh, agitated. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't able to do the seven steps with you. I don't know if you did it in the call yesterday.
No, I don't do the seven steps with people. I just give them homework to do, and they can do the seven steps.
So I feel emotionally agitated. I don't know what to do with it, you know, since I burst in tears yesterday
right.
while doing the questions.
Okay, so what I really recommend is just following the steps. When you know what the do you know what the emotional issue is for yourself?
Yes.
Okay. So have you tried doing the release work?
You mean the seven steps? Not yet.
Well, step two, which is releasing the anger, releasing the hurt, and so forth.
No.
Well, that's what your next step is. That's why you feel agitated, because you need to do step two, where you release the emotions, then you need to discover, yes, I did this to myself, and feel the remorse, and then move to the forgiveness. That's what the rest of the steps are for, and they're for you to do on you.
Okay.
But the fact that you're able to feel really agitated and emotional is fantastic, because it means now you're ready to do all the other steps. Because until a person recognizes what the issue is, you can't do anything with it. That's why I have so much trouble with other systems, not many systems, but some where they just want you to replace your current emotion with an affirmation. And it's just not deep enough. So go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to be reconnecting in a week, and so we can really take it further. But you're going to hear a lot of good stuff today that can help you as well.
Okay, good. Thanks, Richard.
You bet.
Okay, let's hear from Elizabeth.
Yes, hello. I'm in Greece, and it's 8 o'clock in the evening.
Yes.
And if there is any time at all, would Richard be prepared to go through the release protocol once more?
Well, yes, we can talk about all the release processes. And also, just so you know, later today, maybe in the next couple hours or so, or at very latest tomorrow morning, Jennifer is going to post the audio recording of yesterday's call. And so you can listen to every single detail that I did, because, you know, I don't have time, of course, to repeat everything that got said yesterday. But
actually, Richard,
yes.
She just sent out the audio
okay.
recording right now. As
right.
a matter of fact.
Okay. So you got an email with a link to the audio recording from yesterday. I edited it this morning, and you have it now. So you can listen to all the techniques and steps for doing the emotional process work. And so that's really what I would recommend. And if there's any of our student teachers who would like to work with you, you know, they can raise their hand, press number 3 on the keyboard, and maybe we can get somebody who wants to give you some time and practice working with you. And you're in Europe?
Yes, I'm in Greece.
In Greece. Okay, excellent. Well, we'll see if we can find someone who can spend some time with you. Yeah,
okay.
We have Vicky. Milios, who just raised her hand.
Yeah, she's my sister, yes, but
okay.
Maybe it's better to do it with somebody else.
Okay, well, you can do what you like, but anyway, just offering that.
Okay, let's hear from Karen Stock.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Well, I went through the process, and I found it much easier than I thought it would be.
Yes.
So that was actually a nice surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end, it just got so silly, and I was just laughing about it all.
Huh.
And the whole thing doesn't bother me at all anymore, and it's... I see now when we don't process, then we make it our own story.
Yes.
So just processing it, get it over with, and move on. Then we somehow hang on to stuff, and we think it was the other person. And in my case, it was actually just an accident. There was no intention involved. But through the traumatization, I have been studying trauma for a while now, and there is an instant turn into anger.
Yeah.
It's a natural thing. It has nothing to do with yourself or anybody else. It's just there. It's part of the release. But we are not taught to go through that process, to feel the anger, to release it, to shake it off, and move on, right?
Right.
It's actually very, if you know it, it's a very fast process.
Yeah.
And it becomes silly and you laugh. And the other thing I found is... tremendous joy rising.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I was like, holy man, I like this. I'm doing everything else now. So it's very encouraging then to just, hey, do more. This is cool.
Yeah,
I can do it all.
So you took a situation that had some trauma and you turned it into joy.
Yeah, it was.
Was there a physical problem associated with this as well?
Yeah, there was.
What was the physical condition?
It was a foot injury.
So you had an injury?
Foot
injury.
Yeah, and with all the other quantum touch energy, the energy would always flow around it. It would never go into it, penetrate it.
Right.
It would always flow around it.
Because you had something to learn here that you want your body, your spirit wanted you to know.
I guess the way I look at it now, it was... For some reason, it gave me the experience of
exactly
looking at it now from with not knowing, but how silly it is to hang on to things, not knowing how to process the anger, and there's really this. I did feel how I disconnected from my foot, how I didn't like my foot anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
So I got angry at my foot as well.
Bad
question. And so that becomes silly because I also really felt, hey, this foot is a very important extension of myself. I can't live without my foot. It's super important.
Yes.
So I also saw that how I cut off my love, my foot, how I refused to give love to my foot.
Mm.
So I saw that very clearly And there came a point when my foot started to forgive me.
Wow. That's fantastic. So how's your foot now?
It's better. It does feel better.
Fantastic.
I can't tell because the injury kind of subsides.
Okay.
And then flares up again. So I need to see over the next few days now if it's totally gone or if there's still some residue. Because you said, there could be residue, there could be more.
Right.
But it definitely feels better, and I feel like I'm walking much more solid on it again.
Excellent. Well, that's what I love to hear. You process the emotion. The trauma turns to joy or love or gratitude or whatever it turns into. And then the symptoms disappear.
Yep.
And you're left being much more whole. And the silly thing is who knew there was that much information and value in your foot problem, right?
Yeah.
That you had lost part of yourself.
And now the last part is also the cutting off yourself of part of yourself.
Yeah, you had lost part of yourself.
And now it's like so silly.
And it's so wonderful that, you just had the willingness to just experience the emotions and go through the other side, and there it is.
Yeah, and the other thing I also saw very clearly, I saw for myself I'm way too influenced by other people and that I was conditioned that I had to make them happy and please them, whereas their emotions and however another person's triggered, that's their business. That's
right.
Their soul retrieval. I got nothing to do with it. I'm actually here to trigger somebody else, as well as somebody else is here to trigger me to do it. I really got a sense there is something going on. It's like an energetic soul something. There's something we came here. You know, it's not just that New Age people say these things. This is, I could sense it and feel it and observe it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
What I heard other people saying, but now I could all observe this for myself.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Get that knowledge myself instead of, you know, repeating what other people are saying. Now I'm talking with the authority. I've experienced that myself.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, I thought that was fantastic. I'm still laughing about it.
Yeah, it's just so impressive that we can actually do this kind of work and have this kind of success with it. And it astounds me every time I think about it that the psychotherapeutic community has not figured out something so obvious.
Well, I'm surprised. I thought, man, with everything out there, there should have been somebody, I guess it's you, who put it all together. So I said to a friend of mine, I said, man, that was that one class that just saved me 4 years of studying psychology.
Yeah, why bother? You know, and as I was talking to Devin this morning, and she was saying that if psychotherapists use this, they'd never see people more than two or three times.
That is true, because, yeah.
At least not for the same issue, you know.
Oh, very empowering. I can see how things can be layered.
Yeah.
That I don't expect for myself, maybe going through everything that fast, or there could be, as I said, more.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm not so afraid.
Yeah.
I'm just like, hey, I know there's another side. I've had the experience once, so then the other side is always there.
Yeah, exactly. And so any other issue you go through, you know, oh, I can work with this. I can get the other side of it. And then you're empowered. You're no longer...
I think when you have the experience once, it's so much easier to then... I'm even looking forward. Hey, what else can I work with?
Well, yeah, that's what my friend Kirk was going through. He, every time his allergies would flare up again, he'd go, all right, what am I going to discover this time? And knowing
because
that...
the discovery on the other side is so much more fun. It's so much life-ening, gives you so much energy and joy. It's like, yeah, I want more of this.
Exactly. And he would actually get allergy symptoms and go, oh, boy, I'm going to love myself more than I've ever loved myself before. This is so exciting. And there you would have allergy symptoms, and he'd be excited about them.
Yeah, I really felt that. I really went into, hey, I love myself. Hey, I really love my foot. Oh, my God. Well, how would life be without my foot with full use of it? That's crazy. That's dangerous. That's stupid. No.
Exactly.
Let's give my foot all the love I can give to, because... I need to save my foot. You know, it was kind of that kind of self-talk then.
Beautiful. Wow. Thank you so much.
I'm very happy with the result.
Happy that you can share that to inspire everybody, because people need to hear this as well.
The people that didn't go there yet, it is really there. So Richard isn't telling a funny story that sometimes works and sometimes it does. It really does work.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Excellent. By the way, I noticed we had another three up, a guy, Paul here. Paul Scott is willing to help out the last caller. He will work with you too. So Devin, you can connect them together.
Okay, I will do that.
Great.
Hold on 1 second. We're going to hear from Wendy as soon as I can make that happen. Okay, Wendy, go ahead.
Good morning, Richard, and everybody.
Good morning.
Well, I had a screaming moment this morning and from my body, and I don't get a lot of those.
Yeah.
But I really, yesterday, the issue that was coming up for me that I used was a long-standing sleep problem.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because Paul Scott actually worked with me, too,
mm-hmm.
and... What we found in that finally was that, you know, there was this always this noise in the background, you know, in the image it felt like something always revving like a race car.
Yeah.
But what came up when I started to work with this was that it was anger. And so this morning I was doing, oh my goodness, I wrote about 5 pages of things that I felt angry. And I really thought that I'd done some of this stuff, this work, okay, through the years. But no, I just used this process. And so I went through that, and I didn't know if I would really get through all the steps because there was a lot that came up this morning.
Right.
So I was kind of saying, okay, I'll just go slowly through this, and had was taking some of it further and doing the rest of the steps. And then in the midst of that, I had to make some supper for later. So I was making a stew, and I was just thinking about things and just feeling starting to feel much better inside and a lot calmer, and feeling that buzz was leaving and just celebrating that. And then all of a sudden, my knife just jumped out of my hand and actually sliced my fingernail.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, my goodness. I went to my partner. I said, can you please come in? And I didn't even know what had happened. Even the end of my finger was almost off. But anyway, it's really cut right through my finger bed and into my nail. So at that moment, the first things that came up in my consciousness were, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't stop saying it. It was like this automatic thing that just, and Pierre said, sit down. I said, no, I can't. I just have to stand. And I was holding my hand and just loving it and sending life force energy into it. And as he was looking after me in this moment, I just kept walking. I couldn't quit saying this.
Yeah.
So after that, I just went and laid down, and I thought, I've got to keep on with this. And of course, the pain, there was pain, but it was coming and going at this time. And so I looked at my finger. I thought, what finger is this? And I looked down at it. Of course, it's on my left hand, and it's my ring finger.
Mm.
Well, immediately what came up, I thought, oh my goodness, marriages, like I've been married more than once, and there were some things that I hadn't even written down on my sheets.
Yeah.
And so immediately those things just started to come up, and I went into my younger self and did the process, forgiving, you know. But I went through feeling anger and all the things that I had went through too in those times, but just facing that time and restructuring what had happened and doing those processes. So anyway, that was all until about 11:45 when I got on and just came up to the call. So any insights that you have on this, I would really appreciate. But
well, how are you
feeling
now?
To say, yeah. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling better.
Wow. Yeah. So the cutting might be interesting to look at, because that you were cut. You know, the slicing and the surprise of it might actually be some clues also as to some of the issues. Like, who cut you? Who attacked you suddenly or something like that that might be in there? Or how much pain there is associated with those issues of marriage that have not been dealt with.
Oh, yeah, and today when I was going through this, there was a lot of pain there.
Yeah.
You know, I've been kind of pushing it. I got so much what you said to the woman a couple callers ahead about tolerance.
Yes.
You know, and I think as we go along our spiritual path and have been practicing, you know, that tolerance becomes something that we do. And you just push things aside because I'll rise above this. You know, all those things, right?
Sounds very spiritual to me.
Oh, yeah. But you know what I mean? It's just
exactly.
Those programs and those words come in. Like, you can't possibly get angry or show that. And I hear what you're saying about that. It's very, very big.
And it's such a messed up thing that the spiritual community does, where I've seen this happen, especially when people get into, like, cults or very specific, you know, far out kind of spiritual things, where the message becomes, don't think and don't feel. Don't feel your emotions, just tolerate everything, rise above it, don't have emotional expression, and don't think about it either. Because if you think about it, it'll start bringing up your emotions. So any extreme belief system that controls people. And you can put together the subtext of that one. You can think of any extreme belief system where people feel controlled, and the messages generally are tolerate. Don't have intense emotion. Don't make waves. And don't think about it, because if you think about it, you'll be angry. You'll be upset at what we're doing to you. So,
and it's very interesting, Richard, you've brought this up, because I have experienced that in a couple of spiritual paths I've been involved
yeah.
with. And it's driven me out in the end. Because,
of course.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying, and I think that's even something that I need to look at right now.
Yeah, it was a big one for me, because I played in that realm a little bit and realized how ripped off I felt emotionally, because I wasn't being honored to feel my emotions and to be real. And whenever I was expressing it, I'd get in trouble.
Can relate with that.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much. I'll go further with this, because I, you know, after you're bringing those things up, I feel like there's a lot more there to
Well, congratulations, at. And sorry about the cut, but, you know, how valuable that was in retrospect.
It's immensely, and, you know, I already am feeling this buzz that was there. It was like a hum of a bunch mm-hmm. of voices trying to speak.
Yeah.
And as I dug deeper in what that was, I thought it was a revved up motor, but it was something else. It was masking as something else. So thank you for this beautiful process.
Oh, thank you. Wow. Powerful experiences.
Hey, let's hear from Barb.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
You bet.
Okay, great. I just want to say good morning to everyone. I'm here in Oregon on the West Coast, and I've been thinking of you all and sending you my love today. It's been a huge shift for all of us in some way, you know. I have been looking at this issue of emotional release for mostly physical relief, probably for the last, it's been 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I have, I was one of those weird little kids that always put her hands on the sick animals and
yeah.
touched people when they had headaches and did those things. And I was really encouraged as a child not to do that. So really got away from that whole perception for myself of receiving energetic healing for myself, even though my whole life it's been something that's been kind of an outgoing thing for me. But about 6 years ago, I finally came to a place in my health where I was actually told by traditional medicine that I was dying. My adrenal system had completely failed. My pituitary system had completely failed. When, you know, it's a progression. Once that happens, then your thyroid starts failing, and there was nothing traditional medicine was able to do for me. I was starting to develop large infections and whatever, and they were wanting to give me copious amounts of horrific drugs, and nothing was happening for me. I spent weeks and months in deep, dark depression in bed, not being able to get out of bed. And I'm an artist, I'm a writer, I'm a happy, joyful, outgoing person, and here I was not even be able to get up to turn the light on at all. So I started looking at modalities that, you know, when traditional medicine fails you, you have to go outside the box eventually. And I became aware of a modality which is bioenergy synchronization technique. It's best. It's done by Dr. Mortar, who's a chiropractor. But it was probably what saved my life. But it's about emotional release. Mm-hmm. However, it is only taught to professionals. You have to at least be a licensed massage therapist. That's the least amount of licensed training that you can have in order to learn the modality. And from then on, they teach it to naturopaths and chiropractics and nurse practitioners and physicians. So going and having the work done and being told that that emotions, once they're trapped, they become blocked energy. They can surface again as the emotion, but in our body they are the blocked energy.
Right.
And this work actually does emotional release. It actually goes and does, but it's very nebulous. It's fabulous. It really, really worked for me, but it's not something I could reproduce for myself or reproduce for someone else.
Sure.
So there are some of these things. There's the emotion codes. There's use of magnets. There's all of these things, but they are, in the last few years, I've developed my own energy work practice, and I've been looking for something that I could actually take to someone who is, you know, once you know that there's an emotional block, and you know from my, I know from my own experience that 99% of what goes on in my body is about my blocked energy, that being able to release those emotions is truly the key to health. I mean, to be your authentic self, to be your passion, to live without fear, that's the goal for me.
Exactly.
But what I was finding was that there are these modalities, they're out there, but they're not available in a way where you could actually say to someone who's not energetically minded. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you go to, you know, I have a woman that I work with. She's a paralegal. She's not very spiritually minded. She's not energetically minded. And to go and say to her, okay, well, I'm going to look at this chart. I'm going to use applied kinesiology. I'm going to do some muscle testing on you. I'm going to look at my chart. I'm going to decide when this happened to you, what the emotion is. I'm going to use a magnet. And, you know, she looks at me. She would look at me like I was insane. But being able to say to her, like you said yesterday, what do you feel when you're feeling this pain? What's it like?
Right.
When do you remember that first happening to you?
Yeah,
oh,
and the deal is
that was like this.
when you ask these questions, these are simple, mundane, non-threatening questions that a doctor might ask you. You know, when did it begin, and what are the symptoms, and such like that. These are very simple, basic questions, but the whispers and the clues are right there in their answers of what they mean.
To be able to draw that parallel, so, you know, in some cases, like yesterday when I was working with my partner and we were both able to come to the conclusion, I actually, I oftentimes have resistance for myself doing this type of work for myself,
sure.
But I was really open yesterday and I really, you know, did the process and I found did the discovery, was very surprised at what I found for this particular instance of something that I'd never looked at it that way. Even though I've done all of this energy release, but I'd had it done to me. I hadn't done it. This is actually a modality that you could work with anybody. They don't have to be energetically minded. They don't have to be spiritual. They don't have to be New Age. They don't have to be religious. They don't have to be looking for some kind of clue to some secret mystery or growing themselves. They just want to be out of pain. This is simple enough that you can do that. So I won't take everyone's time, but I will tell you what happened to me after we left the call. I committed to doing the work. My husband came home. He is a non-emoter. He's a great guy, but he prides himself in not. He says, "I feel things deeply. I just don't show them."
Yeah.
And I was married prior to this for 25 years to a man with Asperger's syndrome who could not have. You know, his issues were highly functioning autism, so he did not relate emotionally well. So I have a history of connecting up with unemotionally available men.
Yeah.
But it was interesting when he was asking me, all of a sudden, I looked at the clock. For some reason, I noted the time, and I just spoke my truth. I spoke my truth, and I spewed my truth. I was sometimes angry, sometimes clear, sometimes crying. I literally, this just projectile truth speaking came out of me.
Yeah.
I looked at the clock. Exactly 20 minutes had passed. And I stood up and I said, "I'm sorry. I have to go take a bath." And I don't know why. I mean, it was almost textbook to what you're thinking. You know, it said, okay, do these things for 20 minutes and then go nurture yourself for an hour. It was like I was on autopilot.
Yeah.
20 minutes passed, I looked at the clock, and I just stood up and I went, "I have to go take a bath." I went and got in the bathtub. I cried, I released, I forgave myself. I got out of the tub. It had been exactly an hour from the time I'd gotten in the bathtub until I got out. And I felt so released. I felt so cleansed in a new way.
Yeah.
And so I just want to thank you. I mean, I think that being able to use this with on a client base, I think that, you know, helping people to do the process work, there's some things I'll have to think about how to facilitate that. And, you know, maybe we can have more conversation with all of us as this time goes on of learning this. But I do appreciate it, and I've taken up enough time, but I do appreciate it, and thank you.
But you brought up some good points, that this really is something that people can just do, that people can just access and utilize. All right, great. Devin? Lou?
I'm here.
Okay.
Paul, did you have a comment?
Yes, I'd love to talk. Is that okay?
Please.
Yeah, go for
That's
it.
The idea.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure which part I was on. Anyway, hi, Richard. Nice to be here with everybody. Oh, my God, this is brilliant. It was really cool talking to Wendy, too. I actually just taught her level 2 in Vancouver, so she's in Manitoba. So that was really an interesting pairing up there. Yeah, it was cool. Well, this is my second time through, and it's brilliant. I had an amazing experience last time I did, too, but this time what was different for me was I really was able to take the whole process the whole way through step by step, and it was incredible. I mean, this blows me away, Richard. I'm a psychotherapist, right? And to be able to, you know, connect myself on this kind of level through such a simple, easy, effective method, I got to tell you, it's blowing my mind. Really amazing. Let's see where to start. I was able to, what my problem was all of a sudden, because there's a lot going on in my life right now, we're selling our home, we're moving, we're probably going to go to India. I mean, it's very exciting stuff. You know, we're really taking our work global, and it's very exciting. And yet, I was tired all the time, you know, like really sleeping. And I noticed my cravings were starting again, sugar, coffee, those kinds of things. And I was going, wow, I'm getting addictive behaviors here.
Right.
And when I did this process and went back, it showed me in my childhood when we moved from England to Canada, how that move was very, it was hard on me, and there was a lot went on in my life at that time. And without getting into the story, my coping mechanisms were deep sleeping and sugar. I would eat like crazy, you know, chocobar after chocobar, comics, and isolate myself as well in order to cope with what was going on. So I really recognized that this was the emotions that I wasn't letting myself have, and fully being present to them. There's still a part of me that was unaware, and this process really connected me up. And it was so natural in the way it flowed, because talking to Wendy, I started to feel releasing just in the talking. Mm-hmm. And then when I went out and I took my time to, I went into the process of going back and doing the part of the anger, you know, where I see the all these events in my life at that time and the way they happened, and then playing it again and doing it in a way that I was able to say and be angry, and then having the beautiful, caring people, the real people come and have a different, you know, conversation with everybody was really tangible to me. It was poignant, actually. And it just, a deep healing occurred. And then I went out after I'd finished that process and went out for my walk. I treated myself to walk. It was a beautiful sunny day here. And, you know, I was going through all kinds of things. I was feeling anger one minute at different people. And then I was also starting to get angry at myself, and then it became more and more about remorse. It became more and more about remorse as I went deeper into the process. And that I didn't get last time. This time I really got the remorse piece, and I started to feel the remorse. The bow just kept going back and back, and it was feeling very, very intense. And I noticed beautiful things like the clouds and the trees differently than I have before, the way I used to notice them when I was like 6 years old. And I realized that this part of me that hadn't been noticing this had been unavailable for a long, long time. And that's where the remorse really started to kick in, because I realized that I'd taken myself out of life on some level.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, you know, I did that to me. And
exactly.
Now I'm really here. And that remorse kicked in so freaking deep. It was incredible. And then I got back, and what I did this time that I didn't do before was the mirror work. And I stood in front of the mirror and did Ho'oponopono for half an hour, back and forth, just like the way that you you have recommended. And that was profound for me, absolutely profound. And then something else, and I don't know if this is part of what you're doing, but you do say send QT energy. So I was sending heart energy to myself in the mirror. But then I would take myself in the mirror and be that person and send heart energy from that person.
Yes, back to you.
And I was just feeling rushes of energy, and I would laugh. Just be like, wow, you know. And it would just flood over me, this love. And it just kept going back and forth and back and forth until I felt like I'd integrated this child who had the key to all the wonder and my authentic self. And it's profound.
And isn't that the key? That you've taken back yourself again, that you've hit a level of love. I called it explosive self-love, because you can't even contain that much.
No.
And you take back yourself again. And if you've got any ideas how I can, you know, connect to the psychotherapeutic community and share this, I'd love to know. But in the meantime, we have a tool that we can use.
Yeah, it's profound. This is an amazing tool. This really is. Thank you so much for, you know, having the courage and insight to put something so amazing together.
Well, it only took me 30 years.
Yeah, it only took you 30 years.
Yeah, to come up with something obvious, you know.
Well, you waited until it felt right, and I appreciate that, you know, the integrity of that, and knowing, like, yes, this works, and I have something here that I can contribute.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm really glad we're going to have other teachers now, you know, teaching it too, so it won't just be me. Soon we'll have a bunch of them out there.
Yeah, this is very exciting, Richard. So thank you again. Thank you to everybody. I felt everybody with me, and I can feel all of us doing this together, and it kind of chokes me up when I think about it, and what a bunch of brave souls everyone is, and my love goes out to all of you. So,
did you work from a physical symptom on this one?
Yeah, my physical symptom was I was sleeping a lot, and it was cravings. So, and plus there's pain in my shoulder, which I did last time, and I got back to childhood with that too, and it became very clear. And that sort of tied in with this as well, and then the pain goes into my neck. So now the shoulder pain is gone, the neck pain is gone. I'm not sleeping, I'm full of energy. And I'm no longer craving. I feel very happy. I'm happy. I feel very content. And I'm excited about my life and all the move and everything I'm going to do. So I'm just pumped. I feel like a kid.
Yeah.
I'm going to go build a tree fort.
Perfect. Hey, well, thanks again. And I really appreciate you sharing this to contribute to the group, because the group can be inspired. The ones who are having some difficulty can be inspired to keep working.
Yeah, it works if you work it.
Okay, very good. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Thanks, Richard.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear from Marianne.
Oh, hi. I had a question about, I'm new to this. I had a question about anger that's repressed because of guilt. And, you know, the issue is that, you know, it has to do with, like, my mother getting dementia and me taking care of her. And it's just done, it's had a significant effect on my health. And, you know, the feeling of being stuck and, you know, not really seeing, you know, and she's a wonderful, sweet lady. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, so what do you do with that suppressed anger?
Well, here's the rub. You got to be willing to feel it. You got to be willing to experience it. And, you know, you got to take it out of, well, I know there's anger underneath all that guilt, but you have to be willing to start to experience it directly and not just let it be there. You know, you got to turn it into its real emotion, and it's not easy all the time, especially when the guilt is very deep. And, you know, it's sort of like, oh, she's such a nice person. I don't want to have to be angry with her. Well, then don't get angry with her in person. Do it in a meditation. But you see, you got to let yourself in on your own secrets. That's what it comes down to. You have a secret that you're angry at mom. Well, maybe it isn't appropriate to tell her, and she's elderly and whatever, and she wouldn't be able to hear it. And maybe that's true. Maybe not. I don't know. But what is true is you have an emotion you're not letting yourself experience. And you need to give yourself the time and the space to experience that emotion.
Okay. You know, in the beginning, I, you know, would have anger flare-ups.
Yeah.
But,
sure.
You know, over time, I've just kind of, you know, I guess like other people say, just try to be more spiritual and just not deal with it. So I guess I should do that.
Yeah, and let me make a strong point. I see nothing spiritual about toleration.
No.
I don't think that's spiritual at all. I see spiritual as being honest. Honesty is the accelerator's pedal to spirituality, not tolerance. Tolerance means you're putting up with something you don't like. And putting up with something you don't like is just trying to get along. Being honest emotionally and releasing it and healing it within yourself so that you love, so that you're connecting back to your love again, not trying to put up with something that is unpleasant or painful or causes you to be really angry. Or another way of saying this, perhaps better, is suppressing your anger is the most dangerous thing you can do to your health. I mean, it's more dangerous than smoking. Actually, they did a study years ago in Israel where they compared smokers to non-smokers. What they did was they looked at the people who had the most emotional suppression among smokers and the people who had the least emotional suppression among smokers. And the people who had the least suppression had no more lung cancer or heart disease than the general public. So the people who were suppressing their emotions had all the disease. And it may be, they didn't cover this, it may be that people who have a tendency to suppress their emotions are more inclined to smoke cigarettes. But that they didn't cover that one. But anyway, what they saw was that the real danger was the suppression of the emotion more than the cigarettes. So
yeah.
I would say to be spiritual means to be honest with yourself and to be able to come back to the love again. Because listen to what the stories people are saying and what's happening here. And what's going on is people are connecting to themselves on a really deep level and experiencing that level of love they didn't even know was possible. And that's where the healing comes in.
So I guess putting it in a letter, I had done a letter last night, but I don't think I quite did it this way, might be a way of release.
Well, yeah, the letter is part of the release process. You're not going to mail the letter, but you're going to be fully honest. And you want to make it stronger and stronger as you rewrite it. And you want, like, to sweat and let your body almost tremble and feel the intensity as much as you can in the process of putting together the letter.
Yeah, because it, you know, like my disease has progressively gotten worse, and she seems like she's, except for the dementia, she seems in better health than ever.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, just that feeling of stuckness that it's just, you know, I don't know. Just, but it,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, let's hear from Marcel.
Good morning, Richard, and everyone.
Good morning.
I must have a PhD in tolerance and spiritual bypass. The physical symptom I dealt with was back pain. My back went out exactly a month ago, and I was quite a bit in bed in excruciating pain.
Yeah.
And use a number of modalities with some relief periodically, but will always come back. And sentences that I would use would be, my structure is not supporting myself. And sure enough, I did go through the process, and I was aware of anger periodically, did express it like throughout this past month. But going through the process was by itself a journey, in the sense that I realized that a way I was dealing with situations for me was avoiding, postponing. So I was, again, procrastinating the process until I said, realized what I was doing and did it.
Yeah.
And expressing the anger, I integrated the two steps you were recommending. One, writing a letter, but as I was writing it, I also was doing the dialogue.
Yeah.
So the meditation was also coming in. And while writing and expressing my anger, I also became aware of how I would very easily shift to empathy, in the sense of understanding the other person. And then that's when I would become more aware of my specialty in tolerance. And
understanding.
And so I would thank you for saying the yes, because I would become aware of that and then come back to anger. So
good.
It was like adjusting my gears as I was going through the process. So I went through it. My back is doing much better, but then periodically I would have that pinch where the pain had been excruciating. And that was like the whisper. You refer to whisper rather frequently.
Right.
The whisper of, okay, I'm not fully honest with myself. It's like, what is it I need to express even to myself or acknowledge to myself? And there was always a message there. And so, one, I'm really grateful for this process. And, yes, I do work with individuals. I do use similar process, but I have not used it with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really like the thoroughness of the entire process, so I'm very grateful that way. And one thing that I noticed, and I did burn the letter, by the way, today. It was a wonderful ceremony. But one thing I became aware of was that by going deep into the source or the originating incident or time of my life, it was like going down the roots of a tree, because I became aware of other situations in my life where I would be angry and those things would arise and I would have a dialogue with that person or, again, releasing. And there wasn't I experienced a wonderful paradox of both, or like the reality, simultaneous reality of being with my anger and at the same time being with the other person. So, again, I felt my heart opening both to myself as well as to the other person.
Yeah.
So so there was healing on many, many, many levels.
Beautiful,
and,
beautiful.
So here I am.
So what condition did you start with?
That was the back. The lower back,
okay.
Where I could hardly walk and I could not move, literally. And so an important expression there. I could not
Can you say that again? There was a loud tone that happened. So your lower back.
Lower back.
Yeah.
I could not sit down.
Wow.
I could not stand up straight from sitting down or
okay.
from lying down.
Yeah.
Literally, standing up
right.
for myself. And structurally, I could not. And then one... so that's the immediate... you know, I've had back pain in the past, and then the inflammation, which you referred to, you know, or the
mm-hmm.
itis, you know, arthritis and all of that. So
right.
I've had that ever since I was 18, but never to that extent, never to that intensity. And it was like a scream from my being about, okay, go, you know, healing time.
Yes, yes. And now how does it feel?
My back is doing much better. And as I said, the whispers come in, so periodically there's a little bit of a dull ache, but it's a signal from my back to just check in and see whether I'm withholding, whether I'm bypassing, or what is it I'm doing.
Right. Okay, well.
And so it's like a wake-up call on many levels. Like the subtle points are very much there.
Fantastic.
The subtle signals, yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And, you know, you talked earlier about the increased capacity to forgive and to love, and that's part of that openness and the spaciousness that I'm experiencing at this point.
Right, right. Well, good work.
Thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Eileen.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
I have a question for you about what do you sometimes have to do it in layers. And let me give you a little bit of background.
Please.
I have a phobic reaction, I would say, to anger.
All right.
It was funny when you were talking about the cult of, you know, the cult brainwashing you.
Right.
I think that's from the cult of my father.
Yes. Yeah.
And has been added to by the some periodic blow-ups from my husband. And I really, you know, for whatever reason, I just learned that, you know, anger was just really terrifying and you just needed to run or hide or both, right?
Yeah.
So anger is really tough for me. Should I start with processing the fear and come at it that way and see if I can get through that and then go to the anger? Or, and it's something that I'm working on in therapy currently, but, you know, how do you start?
Okay. This is a big topic. And what I really recommend, and I've never done this before, but I really think that this would be worthwhile because you come from such a phobic perspective that...
Mm-hmm.
There is a, I think it's about an hour and a half audio that you can listen to. You can download it online.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called On Releasing Anger.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one that's kind of a corollary to it that people could really enjoy called On Releasing Self-Pity. And it's made by a teacher named Lazaris, Lazaris.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just, you know, look it up online. Or go to Lazaris.
Okay.
Go to shoplazaris.com.
Uh-huh.
And or just go to Lazaris.com and then go to their store. And so On Releasing Anger and the corollary is On Releasing Self-Pity. They were done around 1982 and I probably listened to them about 50 times. And some of what I'm teaching came from that base material, but Lazaris will go through in great detail. This actually inspired self-created health to some extent because they talked about how all conditions are caused by emotional suppression. And
mm-hmm.
the primary one is anger. And I once did a lecture years ago where I asked a group of people in a room, what's scary about expressing anger? And we put up everything on the blackboard.
Uh-huh.
And there was like 30 or 40 answers and, you know, anything. Anything from abandonment to physical abuse to you name it, you know, to loss of friendships and, you know, it just goes on and on because there's virtually no movies out there that show healthy expression of anger.
Right.
So we have to learn how to listen and care about to other people's feelings and how to express it. And in a private session I had with Lazarus, they were suggesting to me, and something I suggested here, that you practice. You go into a meditation. Since you don't have any good experience expressing anger, why don't you take a situation where you know you're angry about it, and in a meditation, try saying it quietly. Try saying it screaming. Try saying it with an intense voice. Try saying it loud or soft, or all different kinds of ways you can think of doing it. And see what feels right for you. Practice it. Rehearse it, essentially, in meditation.
Right.
And see if there's something that actually works for you. Is there something that actually fits and that you can use for yourself to express and release those emotions. And once you get more comfortable with it, you see, I'm not asking you to tell your significant others that, you know, everything you feel emotionally, because that'd be way over the top. But just let yourself in on it. Let yourself feel it fully.
I'll give it a shot. It's scary.
I know, but this is how you reclaim yourself. This is how you take yourself back again and how you stop being hidden from yourself.
Right, and I think because my dad is a very logical, linear guy, I think I really detached a lot so that I can say, you know, I'm angry, you know, don't do that, whatever,
yeah.
but there's a real detachment.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I've been working on with therapy, because I recognize I'm really dissociated from it because it feels so unsafe, right?
Ah, and guess what? It's really safe to do it in a meditation.
Okay.
Because no one's looking over your shoulder and no one will even know you did it. And so you can give yourself this privacy of having your anger in a meditation.
Okay.
You'll
yeah,
know
I
that.
Haven't tried that, so okay. Okay, thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Carol Lee.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Richard.
Hey.
I'd just like to reiterate on a few things that,
sure.
that came up. I loved Paul's statement when he was talking about, I think it was Paul the psychotherapist.
Yeah.
He was talking about his own personal healing. What I really noticed was he used level one techniques, level two techniques, and the self-created health techniques.
Yes.
So I just feel like that is just so profound for us to bring that to the forefront, how important each of these levels of work
exactly.
are for each of us.
Yeah.
For our own personal healing, that we can, as we heal ourselves, and we can, then we can recognize these steps helping our clients. One thing I would like to share also is more recently, and working with people on healing traumas and emotional releases and anger, one thing that has come up was it's kind of called the shock factor. Many times we are shocked about something, and we can recognize a trauma, but we also have to heal the shock of that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one more component that I personally add to some of my sessions. And I'll go back to the lady earlier that cut herself with a knife.
Ah, yes.
And you made the statement of, let's look at that, and you actually said, look at the shock about that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
there was something like in that marriage thing that was shocking to her.
Right. And she recognized it too.
And she, yeah, and she recognized it. So sometimes bringing that shock factor to the forefront can really help also help heal those traumas, like the last young girl who was talking about her family. And
well,
it's hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Consider that when you ask the questions, would you, you know, what were the symptoms? Well, it was a shock. It was a blow. It was
yeah.
sudden. It was like unexpected. You know, these are symptoms that show up in the questioning. But you're also bringing up something I really want to work with, and I, you know, want your input and other people who are working with level one, level two, and self-created health, because I really feel that there is another seminar to be put together in time I'm not anywhere ready to teach anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
But the insights that we get by combining the three together. So, for instance, if you're working on the past, that you want to process the emotions first before you send energy and re-edit the past with level two.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm working on ideas on how to link all the workshops together so that we can create something where we can bring in the value of level one and two with the self-created health together and create an integrated synergy. But I'm not ready to teach it. I need a lot more input
mm-hmm.
from other people and more discovery for myself.
Well, on the level two, we deal with all 12 of the chakras and being
yeah.
in the body and being in that earth chakra, which creates the field.
Yes, right.
Which then creates the physical body. So what Paul was saying, he was using all of those techniques, one, two, and self-created health,
right.
as he was mirroring himself, and he
yes.
could literally see that going back and forth. And also in the level two, much of that class is what? Clearing the brain?
Yeah, well, it is.
And so that's, you know, that's like an automatic thing because we're clearing the disharmony to allow the people to even recognize what's going on in their lives for them to come up with the statements.
Yeah, and I feel like what Paul contributed were some really good insights that we can start playing with as well. But I feel like there's going to be a whole lot of techniques that will integrate.
Oh, absolutely.
The three classes together. Anyway, thank you so much, Carol. I really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Sandy? Can you raise your hand, Sandy?
Yeah. Well, this is my first time with this workshop, so it is a real discovery in many ways for me, but the experience was very intense for me because I've physical pain because I have sometimes a lower back pain and
yeah.
I've used many techniques, included quantum touch level one and two,
yeah.
of course, to treat it, and the results were not complete.
Yes, yes.
I made all the day because at the present time it is 7 in France. It is 8 in France. And I've made the process and discovered many, many, many emotional stuff behind the problem. Some
mm-hmm.
that I thought that I've processed in the past, but the emotional stuff was still there. So I've made the second step and discovered a real anger towards someone which was I was in relationship with, and have a great release in the last part of the process. So the first thing that I'd like to tell you, Richard, is thank you, because I've met a lot of used of different energy techniques and also explored a lot of emotional techniques release. And this process just surprised me because it's really quite simple and also very profound. And my back pain just is not really totally released, but I've seen that it is already much better than yesterday. So I'm aware that I have a lot of further things to explore, but the result is very interesting in a very short time.
Wow, that is spectacular. And I really appreciate where you're coming from and what you're telling me. And how valuable your back pain has been all these years, even though it doesn't seem that way at the time, because it's always there to remind you of what's been unfinished. And congratulations on your courage to go through it, too.
Okay, let's hear from Judy.
Hi. Hi, everybody. I wanted to thank everybody because we're all connected, but for one thing. But last night was really interesting when I went through the process, and I wanted to I don't remember the lady's name that was talking about how unsafe it felt to feel the anger.
Exactly.
And that kind of took a lot, but anyway, long story short, after I kind of got to the point where I could allow myself to do that in the meditation, and one thing that helps me a lot is I always call in my higher self, my angels, my guides, for the help and the protection and the safety, and that's very comforting, and I really believe that, I get that help, and so that could be something that maybe help other people as well, but I came to a point after I started feeling, because I couldn't, to help me get, I let it out, because this was like, late in the night, and I'm not going to be like screaming out loud, but you can do a silent scream, and I'm always amazed at how powerful that is. My whole body just does this, contraction, and this huge, so it's just like screaming out loud, only you can do it silently. It's actually very powerful, and that helped to me to release a lot. But then I get to the point where I realize, okay, well, I made this decision, there are some decisions, and therefore yada, yada, yada. And then I turned all that towards me, and it was really scary because I felt like I wanted to kill myself. So it was really scary, and then I kept kind of looping through this and looping and looping and looping, and it was just like, and so I kind of went back to my angels and said, please help me. And they literally just cut the loop of that going spiraling down into just hating such self-hatred.
Yeah.
It was really powerful. And so, so that was a relief, of course. And then I just kept going with it. And I got to a point where I felt like I could do the number four, the remorse thing. And, so I'm seeing myself in front of me, and I'm, doing that whole thing, and I'm saying it and whatever. And it's like, okay, this is nice, but, not much is happening. And although then it kind of shifted to that one, instead of this, I'm so sorry, I got to the I forgive you, I love you. But then again, then it really just sort of nothing happened. And then I was like trying to shift to the I love you. And it's like, I don't even feel anything. I feel like my heart is so closed that I can't even, mean it. And so I did the thing from one, where you take me and, where I took me rather, and put me in my hands. And it all happened so fast, and the love was so intense and so amazing. And then we came together, and we were one, and we kind of like spiraled up into the, that sort of spiritual thing. And it was really incredible.
Yeah.
But it
process.
Was pretty scary at first.
Yeah, but that's the process, and you did it.
So I'm trying to encourage people that, maybe asking for that higher help so that you can feel a little safer when you do the process, and know that, you're not going to get stuck and just get sucked into the black hole or whatever.
Well, and thank you. That's a really important point, is asking for help. And that is the reason one of the biggest reasons people don't want to start doing this, doing any process, because they know they're just going to get sucked into it, and they're going to become more identified and more angry, and it's not going to release anything, at least that's the belief. But when you know that you actually have a place you can go, and you have something that can change, wow, that's when it becomes exciting.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Jenna.
I'm wondering, with the release in step two, how come fear isn't one of the main emotions that you outline?
Okay, well, everybody says, love and fear are the opposites. I don't really buy that myself. Fear, let's look at fear for a moment. What are you afraid of? I'll just make up a story, or you can tell me a fear. But the idea is, when you come up with the name for the fear, let's break that down. Okay, fear is that this person's going to leave me, or fear is I could lose my job, or fear is my child could get sick, or this person could die, or whatever the fear is. Well, what are the emotions if that happened? Oh, I'd be really angry. I'd be really hurt. So you're anticipating hurt and anger. You can process those emotions. You can process the hurt and the anger and whatever. But you can often turn the fear into the real emotion that's generating the fear.
Okay. Because for me, I felt like fear was the real emotion.
Yeah.
I was talking about with my last childbirth and that fear of feeling that pain again.
Yeah.
And so that anticipation of that intensity. So underneath that, you think like the underlying emotion would be hurt.
Well, it could be whatever it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can explore what the real emotion is and not just be stuck in the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And in certain cases, if a person is afraid they're going to lose everything and, it's going to be a total disaster, sometimes just a simple strategy of writing down, well, what would my plan C be? Okay, if I lost everything and, I was totally broke and worst came to worst situation, what would I do? Well, you write down the worst plan. Okay, well, I'll, do X, Y, and Z, which I really hate the idea of even considering such a thing, but put it in a drawer. Okay, I've got a plan. I don't have to worry about it now because if the worst happened, I know I'd be okay. I wouldn't like it, but I'd be okay. And so that's one way of tolerating, really deep, deep fears is just come up with a plan C and know that you have one and then move on. But otherwise, a lot of times you can just process the real emotion that's generating the fear.
Really?
So if the fear was that the husband was having an affair, for example, well, what's the emotion? There's a lot of emotion there. And it's not just jealousy or loss. It's like, I don't trust you. And I'm angry about things and, whatever. And it's something that's been building for a long time. So you process that stuff through.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then if I do feel like fear is the bottom emotion for a certain situation, I can do the meditation, I can do...
Yeah, you can process.
Any way that I feel is right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I have another question. I'm wondering, I can see a common theme that so many of us have been hurt or have emotions tied to our parents. And
Right. It's
so interesting when those are the people that will typically love us the most, especially our mother who brought us into the world. And I'm wondering why, if she's had so much love for us, why do we hang on to these emotions, and why have we had so many, whiplashes from that love?
Well, so many of us had love with other things associated with it, love with strings or love with, just because mom loves us doesn't mean it's always clean love.
Pure. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of other issues, and because you love her so much, you don't have a right to be angry about that.
Mm.
And so then...
And then you have more suppression with her than anybody else.
Probably, yeah.
Probably. Because that's something I think we got to teach this rising generation and process more to go along. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is there
okay,
anything?
Okay, let's hear. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish. I was moving on, but.
So if our mothers were to do something differently, they would love us more purely and raise us in our authentic self.
I think that the thing is that everyone who wants to be a mom or a dad to the best of their ability, be authentic with themselves and learn how to express emotions honestly with compassion and develop empathy skills. And remember I talked yesterday about the psychopath-sociopath syndrome? Well, the opposite of the sociopath is someone with deep levels of compassion, empathy, and remorse. Well, what we're teaching is empathy toward yourself and remorse for having hurt yourself and compassion toward yourself. We're teaching a class to not be a sociopath, basically. And by the way, everybody experiences compassion overwhelm, overload, because you can't care about everybody in the city. You can't care about everybody in the world. There's 16 million children starving every year. You can't care about everybody deeply enough. All the environmental ills on the planet and all the suffering that's going on and all the wars and everything, it's so overwhelming. So people shut down. And whether we're 1% shut down or 80% shut down, that's how far we've moved into the sociopathic realm. And this is just really fascinating. I'll mention briefly, but I saw the end of a documentary. I don't remember. I didn't get to see the name because I was so fascinated at the end. I didn't even think of looking at it. But this man spent some time on a little island. I think it was in the Pacific. And he spent like a month there doing the rituals with everybody. And when it came time for him to leave, there were maybe 35 people in this little tribe. Everyone started just crying as if their mom had died because it was time for him to leave. And everyone felt the need to put their forehead up against his forehead and give him nose kisses and cry right in his face saying, I'm going to miss you. Now, we get so shut down, we don't let ourselves feel the intensity. And we would care so much more deeply if we were fully human and not shut down with our compassion and empathy and remorse. And so what this class does is it starts guiding people away from our sociopathic tendencies into having compassion, empathy, and remorse.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Venus.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
I want to share what amazing things I've experienced.
Right.
By the way, I really appreciate you saying that the body has higher priorities than being healthy.
Yes.
And very briefly put it, 6 years ago, I was very sick. I was so sick that it wasn't obvious if I'll survive by the end of the week.
Wow.
And I couldn't accept to leave my son alone. So I decided that after 2 PhD degrees, you know, in math and science and biology and physiology and whatever, I have to fix myself because obviously the doctors couldn't.
Yeah.
So I managed to do it, and I managed to do it very quickly. Like in a matter of days, I had things that I had before, like a gigantic growth on the place that the Adam's apple will be.
Wow.
That I had all my life. It was hard as a rock and bigger than an egg. This disappeared. The right side of my body was completely, I couldn't move in excruciating pain, and for 2.5 years, going 3 times a week to a chiropractor, couldn't do anything. I had arthritis, I had knuckles that were swollen, very painful. I had eczema, I had all sorts of things. I don't want to go through a list.
Yeah.
Anyway, so in a matter of just by doing physical things, like I changed completely to eating organic, and I found the best possible whole organic superfoods and probiotics and stuff like that. And in a matter of days, I fixed myself.
Wow.
However, I knew that there's a lot of emotional crap that is beyond it. But because I fixed my physical body, I was procrastinating on getting rid of the emotional stuff. And so it continued to piled up. And last year, I was doing a lot of basically heavy work. I am probably 110 pounds. And I was doing work that, you know, I don't know, heavy equipment should do, not a woman of my size. Basically carrying, moving, including moving the whole house without movers,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
Wow.
But I was not even having sore muscles. I was recovering immediately. And what happened is in the middle of November, I wasn't even planning. I went outside and I saw some leaves that were a lot. And they were on the top of maybe a foot deep grass clippings that I have put there over the summer and the spring because I wanted to remove completely the grass and whatever, just wanted to amend the soil. So this was over a foot deep, very heavy, rotten clippings that were wet and everything with a lot of leaves on top. And I decided to move them on a pile. So this was not the heaviest thing that I've done in my life. However, it was very heavy on me. And basically, the barrel of emotion overflew. So this did it for me. I was not recovering, and I couldn't do anything physically to get rid of it. No matter what I was doing, I was staying at the same level. I had some kind of a extremely annoying lower back pain. And the worst possible thing is that I had discharge from my abdominal area, sometimes bloody, sometimes slimy, sometimes whatever, but it was, and it was annoying, so that I couldn't not pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that this is it. I have to get rid of the emotional crap, and this is it. There's no way of fixing it otherwise, and I was grateful. But until yesterday, I was not clear what is it exactly that I'm hiding from myself. What is it? What are the secrets that I'm hiding from myself?
Right.
And working with Christmas actually was very, very nice because I was inside my own drama and I couldn't pull enough so that I can see that I was having suppressed anger. And the anger was huge because all my life, basically, my immediate family, like mother, sister, my mother's mother, and then my ex-husband, everybody wanted me to do whatever they wanted just to get their crap without saying anything and
right.
give them whatever they want. And the moment I would open my mouth, they would scream at me. So I learned to suppress and never say anything. It doesn't matter what they were doing.
That's a common
and
strategy.
I piled this, yes, very, very smart. So I piled this to the extent that I was only feeling fear, but I couldn't even identify what is it exactly. And when actually yesterday we discovered it was suppressed anger, I didn't even go through the whole process because what happened is I felt very relieved. I went to get the mail on the bottom of the driveway after we finished yesterday, and all the smells and the aromas of the blossom trees was much more profound than it has ever been. I've never felt it like that. It was another dimension to everything that, like some people shared, I could see differently. Everything was coming from the inside. The peace and the joy was not coming from the outside to ricochet, but it was coming from the inside out. And it was so profound that it was amazing. When we had the break, I actually have started some bread and I made it. And so there was fresh loaf of bread, and I felt like putting just honey on it. And again, I'm only into organic, so it was organic honey on the bread only with whole organic ingredients. But the thing is that before that, since November, I could not eat honey. It will feel like somebody is sticking a pencil through my navel and swirling it around if I eat honey. And yesterday I actually ate probably a gigantic amount of bread, 4 or 5 pieces, with probably more than half a jar of honey.
Oh,
I just felt like it, and there was no... It felt really nice. There was no swirling, there was nothing.
Let me get back to your process here. So you processed the emotions on all this?
I haven't even processed them all. I only went to step two.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, a lot of times just getting to the release step will start to cause major symptoms.
But
so,
see, the thing is that the honey happened last night and I did the release this morning. It was just the discovery of what it was.
Just the discovery started a process for you. That's great.
Yeah. And then basically I started going through the second step, the second option here, the technique for quiet meditation. And
yeah.
I was exactly at the place that I was collecting the pile. I basically put everybody, like my immediate family, my ex-husband, whatever, and I was, from the top of my lungs, telling them everything that they were doing to me and how I was angry and not telling them. And it felt so nice. I basically lost track of time, maybe did this for 40 minutes or whatever, and it felt so much lighter. And then when I actually went to the bathroom, there was a gigantic blob of crap that came out of me.
Well, this sounds like you're really on track. Just keep up the process. We got to get a lot of other callers in yet, but is there any important question you wanted to ask?
To the whole process, and I just want to say that, you know, this is amazing because it's very simple, but it's, you know, it doesn't matter what else do you do. It could be one small thing missing, and it's not going to do it until the whole thing is done. So I encourage everybody to really, and I will do it too.
Thank you so much for letting everybody know. It's just amazing how powerful this stuff can work, isn't it?
Yes, it is very, very powerful.
All right.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Christmas, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay.
I just had a couple of comments.
Sure.
Even though I know we're going to be listening to this, I'm just so inspired by the things that you say, Richard. Just are so profound and just makes so much sense. And I also appreciated the lady in talking about the tree roots. I had that experience when I had the class before and this time, that as you go down and you're going through the process and the meditation process, all these other little things that do come up that you are able to deal with through meditation and or writing, that it is, it's like a whole different things, and then you continue. It's just, it's a big process, but it's brings so many wonderful results. And I just also wanted to say that I'm so happy that Venus is feeling better because, anyway, I had a really special experience with her yesterday, and I'm just really happy to see her so happy. So, anyway, but I just really, also the tree root thing I think was a great analogy that the woman said, and also how we can bring all three, you know, level one, two, and this together is a wonderful idea because it really is all connected.
Well,
so,
as you have, or everybody else, as you have insights about how to bring them all together, write to Quantum Touch and just, you know, put it in a letter to Quantum Touch and it'll be forwarded to me and I'll keep track of them and maybe eventually I'll put together another, maybe a half day or one day workshop to integrate all the different pieces.
Okay, yeah, it's, they are.
But
they just float together so well.
I know.
So that's
I
wanted to say, but it's wonderful.
I just feel like there's so many discoveries yet to be made with Quantum Touch.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I introduced it doesn't mean I have access to all that information. And I think that having a lot of people out there exploring can give us, you know, a deeper wisdom as to what's going on because I'm not always the one who comes up with the answers, all right? So help me out.
Okay, I will. I definitely will. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, yeah.
Okay, let's hear from Megan.
Hello, Megan.
Megan?
Yes, hi. My issue was I chose to focus on my heart palpitations.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is just sitting here listening to all of this is that I realize my heart is it's not calm.
Yeah.
And the question about fear, you know,
right,
not being an emotion is a really interesting one.
Well, it is an emotion, but it's also based on other things. It's not an emotion itself. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's something underneath of this.
Right.
What's interesting is that there's the, you know, it's related to anger, but it's also fear of other people's anger. So, you know, I suppose that's being hurt by other people's anger.
Sure. It can be all that.
Yeah. Because basically,
I was just saying that, do you realize the treasure of information that you're sharing right now? So there's that anger about other people's emotions and their anger toward you and this is a whole treasure trove of stuff that can heal you, that can transform your life. Just the little that you've revealed right here is stuff that can become tremendously valuable to you. As you say, okay, why is that scary to me? Oh, I don't want to see other people angry at me. Okay, what does that suggest? Well, what anger have I been holding about and containing myself and not expressing because I've been so afraid of their emotions? You see? Boy, there's a lot there. And so just by looking at the fear and exploring it, and guess what? When you express that emotion, how much fear do you think there's going to be there?
But you see, I feel like I did express my anger for many years, and it was so destructive that I decided that I was not going to do it anymore when my children were little.
But look at this. If anger is expressed unskillfully, it causes destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So if you can express anger skillfully, it creates closeness. Remember I talked about the empathy skills yesterday?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is expressing anger skillfully because both people are ready to listen. Both people are ready to care and try to express empathy in the situation and compassion. And express it not with the intent of using anger as a club or you're bad and wrong and I, you know, hate you or I'm not going to love you or whatever it is that is destructive about anger, but creating the safe space. And if you cannot create the safe space with another person to express the anger, the deal is do it meditatively because that is the safe space. Even if they've died 30 years ago, it doesn't matter. You can still express the anger. So you've got to start in a safe place, because a lot of people reach the conclusion that you did, which is it's not safe to be angry.
Yeah.
And so we'll just stew in all that emotion and tolerate and then be uncomfortable.
Yeah, that toleration thing is a really big one, and the whole the connection that you're making with the spiritual practice, that's such a... it's just so... pervasive.
I know. It's so destructive, too.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because, you know, we find ourselves in these spiritual families, and we probably pick the ones that are, you know, just mirroring our own families.
Oh, yeah. I've said this for years and years, that people tend to choose a spiritual path that promotes their neurosis.
Mm-hmm.
They pick something that will support their problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll pick a path that doesn't require me to feel emotion. Okay, great. I'm a Buddhist, or I'm this, or I'm that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll just let the emotions pass by my head as I pay attention to the now, but I never have to talk to anybody about what I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will take a path that supports them being where they are.
Well, it's so fascinating because what I did yesterday after the call, I couldn't finish the call because I had to leave to go pick up my daughter from the airport. So I was listening to the last bit that I could on my cell phone as I was walking down the street in New York City, and I went the wrong direction. Anyway, I ended up, there was a couple, and the woman had just fallen, and they saw me on my cell phone, and they asked if I would call the ambulance.
Yeah.
So it was just so interesting to me because, you know, I only interacted with them for a few moments because the ambulance came so quickly.
Right.
And I was very impressed by the ambulance people who were so compassionate and strong and just, you know, their training to be there. That was like amazing to witness. But what really came across was I was looking at these two people who were strangers, and, you know, they'd asked for my help, right? And the woman, I could just feel how much anger was in her.
Yeah.
Like, she had fallen down, and she had hit her knee, and I could see it was so swollen underneath her pants, and she'd hit her head. She had fallen flat on her face, which is one of those expressions we use, too, you know.
Exactly.
And her husband was just, you know, wanting to be there and help, but he looked so weak and you know, he was just kind of wimpy, you know, like he,
yeah.
he wanted to be a help, but she was like brushing him aside, like he wanted to help, and it was just so obvious, like it was so palpable, the anger coming off of her. So it was just interesting that it happened, and then I had to, like, you know, not be on the call anymore, not be able to, you know, just, like, have the closure. And then I picked up my daughter from the airport, and our conversation on the way back, we were talking about anger, and she was talking about, you know, two instances, one with her brother and one with a friend, and she's been studying Buddhism, and it's like, yeah, I just, you know, I'm so happy these days, you know, I just feel so much happiness that, you know, nothing bothers me, and, you know, this thing happened, and I got angry, and I just, you know, I just went in the, you know, and let it roll off of me, you know, and I just think whatever, they're just like who they are, you know, and it's just what you're talking about. So
yeah.
I just feel like there's all these mirrors, and I mean, you know, it's like sometimes I think you don't see it in yourself, you have to see it in somebody else.
Exactly.
I mean, it looks like a wholesome way to deal with it, to say, you know, this is the, you know, the Buddhist way to do it, but in some ways we're forgetting that we're Westerners, and we're forgetting, you know, the whatever our roots are.
Well, I really think that there is something very human. Actually, it is one of the quintessential things of human beings that we have. Well, it's not only humans. You know, elephants can feel empathy, dogs
right.
can feel empathy,
right.
other animals.
Right.
But that is spirituality. That spirituality has the capacity for empathy, which is one of the qualities of love.
Yes.
And so any spiritual path that does not enhance or improve or bring out empathy, to me, is not a spiritual path. I don't care what you call it. And there will be Buddhists who say, oh, no, empathy is a fundamental aspect of the spiritual path. And I agree, it is. But whenever you find a group of people calling themselves religious or spiritual who do not embrace empathy, or you look at politics, and whenever you see politicians who do not embrace empathy and compassion, then you're seeing people who are counter to spirituality and the evolution of consciousness, because either human beings will discover empathy or we're going to destroy ourselves. There's no in between on that one.
Yes. When you were talking about the sociopath issue yesterday, it was just, it really rang so true with me, because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I could see it on the level, you know, of the larger
yeah.
level of, you know, what's going on to the earth. And
exactly.
And that's where I can really start feeling angry. And
exactly. And so the question is, what part of ourself are we really expressing? And it's hard for me to find the inner Monsanto.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what that is, you might want to look it up.
Yeah, well, we're directly involved with that, my family, because my husband's an organic farmer, and he's actually
all right.
writing a book and including all the stuff about Monsanto and GMOs and everything. So
yes,
it's
exactly.
part of our
okay,
constant.
You're deeply aware of that. But look at the kind of sociopath that would allow all the seeds in the world to be polluted and poisonous, and not let any, you know, Terminator seeds that don't let anything else grow. The sheer absolute cruelty in that kind of a position is insane, but that's what the world is doing, you know. People are doing that.
So do you feel that by, you know, because if there's like fear in the face of something, like looking at that,
mm-hmm.
that do you feel that there's a balance that can come out of really being able to feel the anger underneath of that, so that people could be able to speak out at the right moment? I mean,
yeah,
you know how inspiring
absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely. But just consider, as I said before, if you pull the bow back an inch or two, the arrow doesn't go far. But the depth of anger that people need to feel about the destruction of organic food on the planet and the greed, the unfathomable greed and lack of empathy that's going on can propel appropriate action.
Right, uh-huh.
But you gotta be, you need to be really angry about that stuff before you can have enough energy to take the appropriate action. We need to be completely honest about our emotions, and that's what this whole thing is about. Because if people were completely honest with their emotion, they would also feel their honest remorse and empathy and compassion. And then we could move into forgiveness very easily. But because we're trained from early on, don't feel your emotions, don't think about your emotions, don't express your emotions, then we end up in the situation we're in.
Well, that just makes a lot of sense. And if there was anything that motivated me to move out of the stuck place, that just did.
Beautiful.
I need to have a feeling that it's beyond just me.
It is.
For whatever reason.
Millions of people who understand this, but, you know, the billionaires seem to have a little more leverage at this moment, but we'll see.
Yeah, but, you know, it's so interesting to me when you read something like the I Ching, you know, the Book of Changes.
Yeah.
And it talks about, you know, whatever you want to call evil. I mean, it's a translation of,
as
a Chinese word, so whatever you want to think of it. But darkness, you know, is that it has its own trajectory. Like you're talking about the energy of the bow, you know, of the arrow. And darkness only has so much fuel. And it actually reaches a peak and it burns itself out. And light doesn't do that.
Well, consider that suppressed emotions are always negative.
Mm-hmm.
And the expressed ones in a healthy way are positive.
Mm-hmm.
And to the extent that people are shut down and caught into the sociopathic mindset,
mm-hmm.
that's to the extent that the world is going down the toilet.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, someday we're going to have to figure out a way of identifying the sociopaths and taking them from power. But that's an interesting question, how that's going to happen.
Well, it feels like what's happening is you are empowering the humanness in each of us to be, you know, connected in this way. And if we can connect with our humanness, then we're going to be responding appropriately. Instead of, you know, 25 years later, we're going to respond in the moment, and then those things just can't take root. They can't,
I agree, if we have enough time. And so the question is, how do we get, you know, a billion people knowing how to do this stuff? Because that's what it would really turn the table, if there were enough people who were responding and intelligent enough to access what's appropriate to express.
Yeah. Well, let's picture it.
Okay, good. Thank you, Megan. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, Karina, go ahead.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
Hi. Just a couple of comments. I came to your level 2 in London a couple of years ago, and I was with a teacher friend of mine who has been my kind of mentor, if you like, metaphysical, spiritual mentor for the past few years.
Yeah.
And essentially, he had the same experience as Eckhart Tolle. He had experienced full-blown enlightenment. And when we got to sharing the gifts and we went around the room,
right.
When he shared his gift, he said his gift was, he said, I am able to experience my emotions fully. And I remember you going, wow.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I took the self-created health class after that I realized why you said wow.
Yes.
And what he had taught me before that was about feeling your emotions fully. Mm-hmm. But he told me, okay, you can do that, but it's very scary. And, you know, you've got to be brave. You've got to go in.
Exactly.
And he said what most people, the reason he wouldn't kind of
share that on a big level is because most people would go in, but they would kind of face whatever it was and get a few levels above the level they needed to get to and then turn away because it's so scary. And I did this plunging into my emotions before the self-created health class. One night I couldn't sleep and I kind of just went into it. And what I wanted to say was your putting a 20-minute timer on it is brilliant because I totally agree with the fact that it can go on and on. It never feels done.
Oh, forever. The rest of your life.
You go forever. And I did that kind of one. I did it through a whole night.
Yeah.
And it was a dark night, but I emerged. I've never experienced anything quite like it. But what I realized also is you don't need to stay in it that long. You can go through it, you know, pretty quick. So this is a really, really elegant process and way. It's so safe. It's such a safe way of going through to the other side and making it so available to kind of to be that present with your emotions. So I wanted to say, you know, thank you so much for sharing it in such an elegant way. And the other thing was, what I noticed was, I wanted to ask you about the time frame. How near or far back from the onset of the condition does it matter? Because what I found was when I started looking, what I was addressing yesterday was a scar. And I then noticed as I reviewed my list of things, what I had said, I noticed that these emotions, there was a common thread that had been present actually in every trauma in my life.
Interesting.
Yeah, really interesting.
Yeah.
And I could literally see there's a complete commonality going back to childhood. Every single trauma holds the same. I could use those expressions for, you know, all of them. And I just wanted to share that with you, see what you thought. You know, it was amazing because then I thought, well, that's easy. I've just easily pinpointed all the kind of four or five main traumas that represent those. So great, I'll just process them all. But I wondered what you thought about that, about the commonality of
I think that what you're telling me is that every trauma has your fingerprints on it.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, and so it's all you. And how beautiful that when you really can process that, the freedom and the power, you know, that you're going to take back for yourself.
Very much so. It was actually, you know, my eyebrows were just getting higher and higher as I was like, oh my God, that's present in that one, you know. It was very, very, just a lot of awareness there. And that kind of gave me the question of how much does the time frame come into it?
Well, just take it as it is. I mean, just look at each individual piece and see what's there for you. Because you never know where it's coming from or where it's going to lead. And it could be something that happened today that will tap you into a childhood experience, or it could be, you know, anything. It's just how the body expresses itself.
Yeah. It's fascinating stuff. It's amazing. Really, really is. I really smiled when I saw 20 minutes of experiencing it, because I smiled and thought, well, I didn't need to spend the whole night in it.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. So thank you. I love this work. It's absolutely amazing.
Thank you. I really appreciate you sharing.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. We have Asako.
Yes, I just have a quick question. Earlier this morning I talked to you and, you know, I learned too much of tolerance with all the emotions. And I was thinking about, you know, the releasing process. And you suggested two ways of releasing anger. And I thought about, you know, which way I can better do it. But I don't think I can do any of these because what I did, you know, to myself, you know, to feel safe in my life was just to forget the incidents that hurted me. So I don't remember the details of, you know, the incidents, you know, of
All right. So here's what you can do. Okay. So you're having trouble remembering specifics to work with it, okay? So that's
sense. My question is, can I like use a hypnotherapy or use other
Yes. You can use hypnotherapy, but here's something else. Take the top five things in your life that bother you today. And they can take you back to the emotional expression that will be valuable. So they will set you off on your journey, you know, by just examining them. So you want a starting off place to begin. Just start there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You bet. Sure.
Okay. Go with Paul. Did you raise your hand,
again.
Paul?
Hi again. I just, as we were talking, I just wanted to share one more thing about the process in front of the mirror in relation to 1, 2, and self-created health, which I totally forgot, you know, that it actually happened. So I thought, oh, I better share this. One of the things that I like to say in therapy, I've heard before, is you got to name it to claim it.
Yes.
You got to feel it to heal it.
Right.
And you got to connect to correct.
Okay, good.
And, you know, when I'm looking at the connection part and I'm thinking about the self-love, and you're saying here that the purpose of the workshop is to turn stuck emotions, transform them into spiritual self-love, and it becomes so powerful you cannot contain it, it becomes the love of your higher self.
Yeah.
It was really cool when I was doing the mirror thing and I was going back and forth, all of a sudden what kicked in, and this could be supercharged, I can't remember, it might be
yeah.
two, is the vortexing. And the vortexing of the 12 chakras. So
yeah.
I had this kind of the self-love going on between myself to self, you know, which was really profound, and having that forgiveness for self was huge. And then the vortexing just kicked in, and that was connecting me to source and having love heal those emotions and just bringing love into the mix, bringing in the spiritual source to the mix. So I actually kept doing the vortexing while I was doing the mirror exercise, and I found that to be profound.
Mm.
So I thought I just share that one with you.
Wow, thank you. That's really excellent.
Because that just kind of capped it off for me. It brought in the spiritual love piece and into the self-love. It just seemed to, just to integrate those two and bring the love into the mix, you know, divine love into the mix.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I like the idea of vortexing the 12 chakras together. There's a lot that could be explored on that one.
Yeah, I use a lot in different meditations that we do, and vortexing into what we call the quantum field or the field, and bringing the information down that's needed for healing from the field, accessing the field, then bringing it through in such a way through vortex that you can integrate it into all 12 chakras, which integrates it into your life so that you can actually live it and call on that, you know, that information for high healing that's there and integrate it into whatever we're working with.
Well, keep exploring and keep me in touch with your ideas because these are excellent.
So thank you again, Richard.
As we stay creative with this stuff, I mean, who knows what we're going to come up with?
Oh, it's incredible. This vortexing, we do a special meditation. There was one lady came in and, you know, and we're not saying that, you know, if you do this, it's going to do this and this. We're just saying this is something that occurred, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
she came in with full uterus cancer.
Yeah.
And we did this meditation through breath work of charging through breath all 12 chakras, and then vortexing and connecting to the field, and then bringing down the information for healing that's required or needed. And this lady had full-on uterus cancer, and a week later she went in for the checkup, and it was gone completely. And she said she thought it was totally due to this meditation.
You know, this is so amazing. There's one group of people who had like healing circle every week, and they got tired. They'd invite a person who wasn't a quantum touch practitioner into the circle every week, and they do a session on them, as well as work on each other. And they got tired of calling everything that happened a miracle. So they came up with a new word. They called it a normical. Because the miracle became normal.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
It's a moment of reality.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is so cool. Yeah, I was actually at level two with Megan Victoria in BC here, and it was one of her students actually at her level two workshop that told us that shared that with us and said, yeah, we just call them normicals now. Loved it.
Yeah, I just read that story. I hadn't talked to the person who had come up with that.
Yeah, I thought that was profound. Never heard that before. But yeah, you know how you talk about going 5 years out and just having it so normalized in your visualization that, of course it is. That's just the way it is. It brings so much more power to what's going on in your manifestation. Yeah, it's so powerful from that place. There's no fear in it.
Well, I really think that, you know, vortexing 12 chakras ties right in with a level two so nicely, because you call for the energy and essence and work right through it.
Yes, and it becomes automatic.
Exactly. Well, you give me something to work with. Thank you.
Okay, Richard, thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay, Marcel?
Yeah, hello again. First, I really want to acknowledge the fact that you want to integrate all three courses.
Yeah.
At one point, like, I did attend level one and level two. Thank you, Kim, for all that I got from you and for meeting you on so many levels. But one thing, you know, it's like super rich, and as Paul just shared, you know, it's like all the miracles that did happen, both in my life and other people's lives. And at the same time, there was that sense that I was left with periodically about that being a spiritual bypass.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, I want to practice quantum physics, apply it many areas of my life, and there is something else to be dealt with, and which you're offering in this course. And so definitely for the integration, and what it reminds me of is like of Leslie Cameron Bandler, the co-creator of NLP, when she realized that whatever NLP was doing was dealing with discrete beliefs. Then
yeah.
She came up in the 80s with the imperative self, which was to look at the integration or the cohesion of all the beliefs and the structure of those beliefs, and came out with the imperative self. So it's like our running software.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing this particular course and the integration as being the possibility of really coming into our running software. You know, what are the beliefs? And emotions are neither positive nor negative. They're the doors. They're a source of information to get to that software. And that to me is a richness that I would love, and working with energy only has its limitations, and working with emotions only perpetuates the story. And so that's with the richness of it's almost a dialectic here. Again, the integration. So thank you for thinking it.
And you know, I looked into NLP, but it looked like emotional bypass therapy.
Yes, but because you know,
it was
going to
manipulate. It was going to manipulate me out of feeling what I was feeling.
You know, it is. It definitely is. And I don't know whether you got into the imperative self part.
No, I didn't.
And the issue that Leslie was addressing was exactly what you just expressed.
Yeah.
And as she said, jerks will remain jerks.
Yeah.
And NLP does not, you know, yes, it is misused, like, you know, the atom has been misused for atomic bombs as opposed to for healing only. And at the same time, NLP shares with the work you're doing in that it is a window for how we organize our experience. You know,
yeah.
What is our reaction? How are we perceiving? You know, change the map, and you'll change the territory. You know, the map is not the territory.
Exactly.
But go through it. But then discrete emotions, discrete feelings are not, it's just a window. It's not the entire structure. And that's the power of working with all of the emotions. And as I think, Christmas, and thank you for your acknowledgement, Christmas, for like the recognizing the analogy of the tree. Once we get to the organization of all of our beliefs and the emotions, and a more recent participant who shared about the commonality throughout all the traumas in life, that's part of coming to the trunk of the tree of like what are the organizing principles in our lives. So it's NLP, Leslie's version, and also our own journey, not just to expect, like, and I'm speaking for myself, obviously, complete insight and complete resolution of all symptoms and all issues now. And it will be an ongoing discovery, and it is an openness, and it is energy work. So it's both and, as opposed to either or.
Yes, definitely. Well, I really appreciate you sharing all this.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Karen.
Yes, hello again. Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Okay. When I did the process last night, I decided not to run the energy. I just wanted to see how
exactly.
It works on its own.
Right.
So it is very powerful even just on its own. So, of course, I will be running energy as well, so I will see what the differences are, start playing with it. I think, yeah, that's another phase of discovery. The other thing is, what I thought is, the entire process, it does, it, whereas in other modalities, I find you really do get stuck. Let's say on the anger, on the pain, you can't get off it. It comes
yeah.
over and over. And this one is really just moving through. And sometimes, I didn't even have to pay that much attention, or the 20 minutes over, this time frame over now. There was just a feeling, oh, I can move on.
Yes.
So that was interesting. So it isn't so rigid and structured that you have to follow it. To me, it's follow more your intuition. And even though you know you haven't maybe processed all the anger, and maybe the anger starts feeding on itself, but maybe it's time to move on. Just set the intention to feel to move on. And there's one more thing I wanted to say. I know my mind went blank. Oh yes, now I remember. And I didn't do everything all in one session.
That's fine.
Did one thing, and then I had to do something else, and then once it felt complete, I did something else. So I actually broke it up and did different things in between. So you don't have to do it all in one session.
Exactly.
So you can take a whole evening, or you can.
Oh, you can take a couple days. Yeah, you can do it over time. Although I do like the idea of doing it when you've done the release work.
Yeah.
You have so much emotion going at that moment.
I guess it depends. It depends on the situation.
Yeah, it does. It really does depend. But anyway, yes, I do agree with you.
Yeah. Okay, then. That was it. Just want to add that.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, we have Shaika.
Richard, a quantum touch theory based on offering love or unconditional loving. But I used to be a jealous person, a very jealous person in intimate relationships. But when understanding laws of universe, I knew how to replace fear or insecurity with love. But still, how can you offer unconditional love for a soulmate or a person who can press your buttons?
Well, you got to process the emotion first. And then whenever your buttons get pushed, you say, okay, what's going on? And you deal with it. You look at it emotionally and you say, okay, what's happening here?
Is it good to be, you know, like to feel that my buttons are pressed or?
Yes. Every time your buttons get pressed, you say, all right, there's something new for me to learn here. Right?
Okay. So it's real that sometimes we skip through relationships because, you know, the connection is strong and you can deal with your ego, right?
Uh-huh.
This is a question.
Well, the ego wants to do better than or less than. Let's just talk about issues of negative ego for a moment. The healthy ego is the observer. And it says, oh, a brick is coming. You better duck. So you duck. That's just the observer. The negative ego happens when you draw interpretations. So somebody spilled wine at a party. They did that on purpose. They want to spoil my party. You start coming up with interpretations and meaning about what these things mean. And the way to recognize negative ego is very simple. Do you feel better than or less than? Self-importance or self-pity? These are the indications of negative ego. I'm the most important person, but nobody appreciates me. That's both self-importance and self-pity in one sentence, okay? So when you recognize negative ego patterns happening, the better than, less than, the importance or the pity, then you just have to stop it. You just stop the dynamic by choosing it and get into what's real and what's true.
Okay, can I ask another question?
Sure.
How can you judge if a relationship is a good one or a bad one?
Well, how does it make you feel? Let's just look at some basic guidelines. Is it based on honesty? Is there a good level of compassion? Is the person trustworthy? Do they keep their agreements? Are they honest? Are they emotionally vulnerable and real? Do you feel like you are yourself? Are you shining and becoming your best self when you're around them? Or are you trying to get along? Are you trying to tolerate? You know, are you fulfilling neediness, or is it bringing out the joy, the gratitude, and the best in you? These are some real fundamental things you can ask to gauge whether a relationship is healthy for you or not.
Okay. Thanks, Richard.
You bet.
Richard?
Yes.
Hi. She's not on mic anymore, and nobody has their hand raised.
All right. Well, we still have another half an hour or a little bit more than that. If anybody has any other questions, concerns, insights, discoveries, or anything else you want to share, this has been really good, and I feel really good about how you all have been either wrestling or succeeding with the process. Oh, we got another hand up.
Okay. Marcel?
Yeah, thanks. One thing I wanted to add to what I said about emotions, the work of Leslie Cameron Bender asked us to focus or to become aware, or to keep track of the recurrent emotions we have, and typically it's like 8 to 12 that we experience on a recurrent basis. Like if somebody has a gun at my head, I'll be afraid. However, if I live in fear, that would be one of those recurrent ones. And to do the work, like it's really, I'm speaking for myself about integrating all that I'm learning throughout my life, including your offerings here, for which I'm very grateful. But really, for my own work, it's like looking at my recurrent emotions and doing the work there. So inviting anybody to also look at the recurrent emotions.
That's an excellent point, because those recurring emotions are the ones that are those thematic things are the ones expressing. And by the way, I got the time wrong. We have another 24 minutes or something, not an hour, but anyway, yes, but those recurring emotions are the themes, and the themes are the issues that you really want to be paying attention to.
Yes. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, let's hear from Meg.
Yes. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I have one quick question. You talked about motor food yesterday, and then there's a tolerance talk today. So would you define the two for me, please?
Okay, can you say again what it was you want me to define?
Martyrhood.
Martyrhood, okay.
Then the tolerance.
Okay, martyrhood happens when a person is silently suffering. And by the way, remember I talked about the on releasing anger and releasing self-pity? If you want to hear a hour and a half talk about this and go into an amazing amount of detail, like a PhD course, you can get the On Releasing Self-Pity audio from Lazarus.
Lazarus, right?
It's miraculously detailed and in-depth, and it'll be 100 times better than what I'm going to tell you right now. But what I can tell you is that the suppression of the emotions generally leads to self-pity or self-importance. That's the ego positions. And it's also a way of punishing people by being in self-pity or self-importance. The result is that you punish others. And if there's one thing you can be sure about, people want to have the emotional impact that they're having on other people. They may say otherwise, but everybody gets the impact that they're looking for better or worse. The self-pity has two sides, the victimhood and the martyrhood. The martyr is the more insidious one because you can see the victim coming from a mile away. But the martyrhood is the one where they look like a winner. They sound like a winner. They're happy, they're bright, and they make you feel terrible. And what they're doing is they're saying that the words that they're using often are giveaways of how they're actually feeling. They're talking about feeling unappreciated, misunderstood, overburdened, innocent of wrongdoing, angry at God, overwhelmed. These are symptoms that they are they're living in martyrhood.
So in other words, they choose to live there. You like being, they like being that state of mind.
Well, it's just a habit. It's a habit for many people.
Habit, yeah.
And they get to be punishing subconsciously by doing it. And that subconscious punishing is very painful to those around them. But, you know, I can't tell you anybody I've ever known who has not done that. You know, to say that I've never done that would be a lie. It's something that we all kind of get into. But the question is, can you make choices powerful enough that you don't live there? And sure, you can fall into it from time to time and say, well, I'm feeling unappreciated. And by the way, here's an interesting note. If you are dealing with a martyr, you become one. Because now you're feeling unappreciated and misunderstood and unfairly treated and overburdened, and you know, you're the one who's being martyred. If you are doing business with a martyr, you become a martyr. Because they're not appreciating you, they're not understanding you, they're not respecting you, so you end up being martyred. And that's why it's so hard to have a relationship with a martyr, because you automatically become one too. Because no matter how much you express your emotions, you know, they don't want to hear that that's what they're doing, which is martyring themselves and hurting you in the process. But the subconscious message, the underlining message of the martyr, is that your love isn't good enough, that your love isn't valuable. And the reason for that is no matter how much you love them, no matter how much you care for them, no matter how beautifully you care for them, it's never enough. They're still suffering.
All right.
Yeah.
So tolerance is a bit lighter in the sense that, you know, you can lift or, well, of course, you have to do it by yourself, but you can lift or get out of that situation compared to martyrhood.
Yeah, you can move out of martyrhood, and that's a really important thing to do, is to get, when you hear yourself saying those words, say, wait a second, I'm being a martyr. What am I really upset about? What are my real emotions here? And instead of living in the vibration of self-pity, you know, you cannot process any emotions effectively when you're in the vibration of self-pity. Cannot be done.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Okay,
so as we're wrapping
Marlene.
It up, who else do we have now?
We have Marlene.
Okay.
Hi, Richard.
Yeah, Marlene.
Hi, I'm Richard and Marlene here, and thank you, everyone, for your phenomenal comments. I was going to say many of the things that many of you did, but I keep hearing that I'm to share this. And I went to church today, and by the law of attraction, they sang the song, you know, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer, not my brother, not my sister, and you know the rest of the words. And so when you think about this, you know, as Richard talks about in Quantum 1 and Quantum 2, everything has a resonance and everything has an entrainment. And we are worried about getting millions and millions of people to be doing this work, but the most important thing is that each one of us do as much as we possibly can. And in doing that, we're putting that vibration into our family, into our field, into the circle of our circle of life. As my carpenter so eloquently says, when mom is happy, everybody's happy.
Yeah.
You know, so when we go to that place of changing our vibration, we're changing, you know, we're changing so much. And Carol mentioned it. Carol Lee mentioned something yesterday statistically with some research she had known, but I think we all see it in our lives. When we create one ripple, it ripples and it affects the flower of life. So personally, I found as I did this work yesterday, another issue came up. It's like, oh, I can't wait to work on that one. I can't wait to work on that one. And it's like, oh, wow, this is like, you know, if I told somebody it was fun, they might think I was nuts. But it is.
Right.
It's amazing. And one other thing, when we were at church today, I felt like saying to the minister who, you know, kind of gave an old-fashioned, you know, sort of speech about forgiveness, I felt like saying, excuse me, let me come up, and I'd like to take self-created health and quantum touch to the whole parish. Because then they're going to really get what that Christ consciousness message was about. That's really what it's about.
Yeah, well, that's really where it comes in. But consider, this is Promethean information. It's stealing fire from the gods, because you're not waiting for someone to forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
You did it yourself. And
yeah,
that's stealing fire from the gods. And the gods get cranky when you do that.
Yeah, you know, and
at least,
another...
At least the leaders of the institutions do, because now you don't need them.
Yeah. Another, you can take this two ways, you know, everything's an inside job, you know, you can take it from a low vibration if you think of, you know, the mafia, et cetera, but really when you take it from a high vibration, everything is an inside job, and it's up to us to cause that ripple, and I just think this method is phenomenal. I am just so excited about it, and I'm eager to go out and share it with, you know, the multitudes.
Well, thank you, Rich. Then let me ask a favor of those who want to. Please write up something about this work and how it changes your life, and we can use it to help people. Maybe we'll put it, when I write the self-created health book next year, you know, we might put it in the book and tell your stories, and we'll share it in newsletters and other places, and let people know how valuable this work is, because I really feel like, and I said this on video, I said, this is my most important or my most profound work ever. I think this is more profound than the quantum touch work, because it really touches our souls on the deepest level.
You know, and I teach quantum one on level two, and how could anything be more profound? But
exactly.
It is just amazing, and, you know, I think I used to say when everyone gets their license, they should be required to take quantum touch, you know, one as part of their prerequisite to getting their license. Now I think they should be required to take, you know, self-created health. It's an amazing course, amazing. So
thank you, Richard,
for all you've done and all the others that have led you to what you've created. So,
all right, well, thank you so much.
Love and gratitude.
Thank you.
Okay, we have one more hand up. Let me see. Emily.
Hi.
Hi.
I haven't shared yet, so I wanted to put myself in. And I've always had trouble with remembering childhood memories. And
mm-hmm.
I know that I just got the number that I was 5 years old that was the root of my back, lower back pain and spine pain, like scoliosis. And I haven't really accessed that yet. But during the whole time that we've been talking this morning, I've had to stand up and move my body around,
mm-hmm.
and especially working on my spine and my pelvis. I just had to. It was being uncomfortable and hurting. So I just wanted to talk about integrating body motion with all of this.
Well, it definitely can be, and what's nice is that these are such open-ended systems, the quantum touch and self-created health, that you can start integrating them with all kinds of things, and a lot of people have done that, where they do use motion or massage or you name it to find ways of connecting, but certainly movement can be very helpful.
Yeah, because I've gone to network chiropractors, at two of them. The first one threw my records away after I left. They couldn't do anything with me, and they didn't want to keep the evidence.
Right.
And then
I went to another one
who was even more, really famous. And they finally called me into their office, and they said, I've never had a failure, but I'm afraid that you're one, and you're just going to have to go.
Well, Donald Epstein worked on me, and I was worked on for 6 months. I think three times a week I was doing a trade. And I never had any experiences whatsoever. And so
that was mine. And I think that there must be a block in the energy in my spine that's a part of this. So
I don't know.
Today, I have a feeling that my body was saying, you've got to move this out. You've got to adjust it out.
Well,
whatever.
Here's the thing. When there's an emotional... Okay, we had another caller who was talking about his back pain. And the back pain was not going away sufficiently with traditional quantum touch. Well, that sounds like a job for, you know, self-created health, because when the energy is not enough to get rid of it, let's go to the emotions. And so network is not working with the emotions. They're just trying to get the body to respond and change itself to cause the healing. If that isn't working, then we need a deeper answer to the question. We need to ask a deeper question.
what occurred to me just now is I was in a massage training, and we had to walk in front of the class without any clothes on. And I did that, and the teacher just said, your parents, your male and your female, are totally unaligned. Your parents didn't get along at all. Mm-hmm. So that's what just came. I'm glad that I'm talking, because I wouldn't have remembered that.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling that it has to do with my parents when I was five.
It could easily be. So explore. But also explore through the symptoms of your life now and see if there's resonance, because I don't like to just take theories. I like to actually work with what's true. And what's true is what your emotions are experiencing today. They're giving you information. Or it's true is what your body is telling you today. Because it's not that your body and your emotions are accurate in terms of what's the specific truth, but it's giving you the clues or the whispers to dig deep and find out what the deeper truths are.
Thank you.
You bet. Yeah. Well, so Devin, we have one more. That's good.
We do?
Yeah, I think so. Oops, no, we don't.
Okay.
Was it. So it looks like we've run through the questions just within the time frame of today. Is there anything you want to share, Devin?
No, I just it's just always exciting to hear everybody's experiences and how simple the process is and how effective it is. And I just love doing these calls, so it's always a privilege for me to be a part of this. So,
yeah,
thanks everybody for the courage to go into these emotions and uproot them, if you will.
Yeah, it really is courage. And that's why, you know, I just really respect everybody who's willing to even take this class, because it is a courageous thing. And for those who haven't gotten through to the other side yet, we have a week or so, 6 days before we do it again?
Yeah, we'll be back on the call on Saturday at 10. So
okay, so you got 6 days to do the processing, and we'll talk about it, and we'll work with it, and let's wrestle with this stuff and get it so that you absolutely own this. That's what I like about this workshop, is that by the time it's over, you own this process. It's yours. And, you know, you don't have to keep referring back, and you don't need me to be your therapist.
Yep.
Okay, well, this is great. Why don't we put everybody on and we'll
everyone
prepare.
Everyone on.
Okay. Yeah.
Hello.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
very much.
Love and gratitude.
Bye. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
Bye. Thanks a lot.
Many blessings to you, Richard and Devin.
Thank you. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good week.
Okay. It's kind of fun hearing everybody say goodbye.
Yeah.